You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Tomorrow we'll get into the offensive line, which I think will be a very interesting position to evaluate. Obviously, two Pro Bowlers, a couple of All-Pros on there. In the center, Alex Mack, Joe Thomas. We'll talk about the guard play. We'll talk about Mitchell Schwartz, who had a tough season, the depth there, and see what we think needs to happen with that position going forward. That'll be tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here, the Thursday show. Talking mock drafts, we've talked, of course, about the letter from Jimmy Haslam, so whatever you guys want to get to, we can do that at 216-578-0850. Dino, we got any barks? Jeff in Twinsburg, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
How are you today?
Good, how
Jeff?
Are you?
Doing well. Love your show. Love what you guys do every day in a very difficult environment in Cleveland. But I appreciate you guys. Listen, guys, big-time Browns fan, and this is my take on it. Joe Banner, I evaluated him. He's a glorified bean counter. Not evaluation of talent. And he basically showed me that by bringing Lombardi in, because I went back and looked at Mr. Lombardi's record with the Browns. I think he had 6 years. His drafting was atrocious. Terrible. So that being said, I try to be cautiously optimistic, especially with the upcoming draft. This will be huge for not only Mr. Banner and Mr. Lombardi, but for the Cleveland Browns themselves, as you guys have discussed. My take on it is they have 10 picks. They better hit on at least 6 or 7 of those 10 picks.
That's at the high end, by the way. I mean, most – you know, the best personnel people will tell you, and who've charted this, 50% is high end. If you got 5 of those 10 right, you've done it right. But the point this caller just made here, Nathan, could be very interesting, because is it more imperative to get the majority of these picks right away? And by the way, getting them right away almost is never the case. You can drafts truly can't be judged in 1 year. It's an ignorant way to judge them, yet
sure,
we all jump into that and try to dive in and make assessments based on that. Who's contributing now? I know the game has changed, and I understand that younger players are in a position where they've got to contribute more and faster, so there's greater pressure on those who assess them to get players who come in and contribute. But realistically, expecting 3/4 of your draft to hit it in year one is unrealistic.
It is unrealistic, but I think you can see signs that you are on the right track, you know, pretty much right out of the gate, and I think that's what people are going to want to see this year, given the picks, given the money to be spent in free agency, and given the need for improvement, a colossal need, in my opinion, for improvement and rapid improvement here by the Cleveland Browns next season. So on that level, I do get it, but at the same time, I think the point you make is very valid, that it is often very difficult to see a turnaround just that quickly.
Kyle is on the line. Hey, Kyle.
How we doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I was just wondering if you guys think Mike Singletary ever get another shot in the NFL.
I'm going to say no, and I know some folks who are very close to him. I've known and been around Mike a long time, going back to his playing days, writing about him and covering him. I think he had his shot, and will he get a second one? I'd never say never, and other coaches are getting a second round, but I think that generally speaking, I'm not entirely sure how much he even loved being a head coach. I heard some stuff that he intimated to friends and people he was close to about not liking the fact that you couldn't just focus on football all the time, that there was a lot of periphery that comes with that job, a lot of stuff that crosses your desk. And he leads with his heart all the time. And you saw, and Vernon Davis will tell you, it was actually a turning point of his career, what Singletary did with him in singling him out, calling him out. But as far as how he went about his business, I think it was emotionally draining to him, because he just wanted to pour it all into football, and you don't get to do that as a head coach. You really do have to be a CEO type of guy. You've got to overlook much more than just one aspect of the team or just football.
Right.
You know, and I think for some people, for some individuals, it's a harder chore than others, especially when they go through it a first time. Kathy in Elyria is with us now. Hello, Kath.
Hey, Doug and Notorious VIC. I've called you guys before. First of all, I will say, since your screener asked me about Haslam, he said, I bet you want to talk about Jimmy Haslam. And actually, that's not why I was calling. I have 2 points.
Okay.
First of all, I want to give Jimmy Haslam a break. When whatever happened in Tennessee happened, he stood right up front. He didn't say, oh, I can't talk because of potential litigation. He got in touch with companies and tried to pay off money and make things right. He just didn't hide. And I think he's done that here so far. And I loved the fire I saw from him when he bought the team. And I was very, very hopeful that things would change. Although I didn't like that he fired poor Chud after 11 months. I thought he deserved another chance because of the quarterback situation. But the reason I really called you was I want to hear your guys' take on what you think about the kickoff return men coming out from the back of the end zone, and most of them ended up having their quarterbacks start in a hole. I thought they were supposed to, like, usually take a knee, you know, and start at the 20.
Mm-hmm. It is a change because people are so anxious to get out there and actually return that they want the opportunity. They don't want that taken away from them. But I would agree with you that it is very much a dicey situation, a dicey proposition, and it can really turn field position in a very quick manner. We saw that with the Browns a couple times, unfortunately. We've seen that in the playoffs this year. I think when teams need to be very judicious and think very long and hard about when they want to go ahead and take the ball out of the end zone when they are that deep. It has changed the game. The rules have been put in place to eliminate many of the kickoff returns because they lead to so many violent collisions, and I think that's just kind of the way that it has been.
Yeah, it's such a push of safety that is what is discouraged or encouraged the deeper kickoffs and then discouraged the returns. I think it's created a real problem, though, for special teams coaches and especially for returners. And I thought by now, especially by the late stages of the season, return men would do a better job of making decisions, right? And you don't see that. You still see some faulty decision-making when it comes to returns. You still see guys that you scream at the TV set, I do, no, you know, stay there, you get your 20. I mean, ultimately, I know if you're going to take it out at any point, you take it out because you believe you can do more than 20 yards. And that's
right.
The thing.
That's
if there's a doubt, any idea that there could be a shred of doubt in that, then you should not be taking it out. And I think there's the concern that, well, if I don't challenge and challenge myself and challenge this team to do it, I'm talking about the returner's mindset, and I've heard some talk about this, that I'm jeopardizing my future, my career on this team, because what good am I if I'm not making those kinds of plays? But you know what? You have to be honest about what you are. If you're Travis Benjamin, you have that level of speed, that incredible breakneck speed, I'm taking more chances than I am if I'm a guy with more ordinary speed, more ordinary skill.
Of course, and it's right? A guy you're trying to make plays. The guys that are back there are, in many cases, playmakers who want to have the opportunity to do just that and make plays. So you understand the kind of the inner turmoil that happens when they say, I don't want to take a knee. That's taking me out of the game. This is what I'm here to do,
right?
Versus going out there and doing the right thing. So we will. It's going to be an interesting thing, and I think as the game continues to evolve, it will be more and more. You're going to see more and more kneel downs. But at the same time, some guys bring it out and they have big success with it, and it's going to be a team to team, player by player, case by case basis with that as that part of the game evolves. Because I think ultimately, if I'm the one looking at it, I think the NFL would be pretty happy to eliminate kickoffs altogether.
I think
at some point we are going to see a game where our team scores a touchdown, you get the ball in the 20.
I mean, I hope it doesn't go there.
I hope so, too, but that might be where we're going.
But those who are making these decisions of the rules, there are some who go into that competition committee room that will in March in Naples, Florida, when they get together in their annual meeting, with that thought, and that's on the agenda, and I'm told it's been on the agenda for the last several years to sort of mitigate the injuries and do whatever can be done to make this a safer game. But I hate that because I do think it then changes the game. We're not looking at football as we know football, and I've always said, and I hope when cooler heads prevail in that room, that whatever decision you make doesn't fundamentally change what we know as the game that we've been attracted to and that we love. If all of a sudden it starts to look like something that's manufactured for the sake of trying to prevent something, your fan base is going to know that. And yeah, I know the NFL has been boasting, and rightfully so, that I think for the last 3 years now running, averaging 34 million plus viewers for the playoff games. That's remarkable. And the numbers in cities like Cleveland, where your team isn't even in there, or places like Buffalo, those tend to be even the highest rated because there are such strong fan bases there that just love football and want to watch those games. I just think that potentially could be a reason, if you make that drastic a rule change, to make the game less attractive and possibly less popular. So they got to proceed cautiously with that. All right, we're going to bring aboard Gerard Cherry next, the third part of this show. We're going to have him on. We hadn't had him on in a while. He joined us yesterday by phone. He's going to join us today. And want to hear what Gerard has to say about the Jimmy Haslam letter and other Browns thoughts.
Sure.
Vic and Nathan.
CBD.